Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
The Cyberbuck Lorecast.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots. It's time for the Cyberpunk Lorecast, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back, Cyberpunks. Welcome back, Chumbas. Welcome back, Grandma. Thanks for listening, Grandma.
Grandma?
And not my grandma. Somebody's grandma listens to this. Statistically speaking, it happens. Somebody who listens to this is a grandma. Welcome back. I'm Tom of Robots, and this is my co-host, Captain Logan. What's up, Captain Logan? How's it going?
Not much. Apparently, I'm going to be, putting some batteries in my Zune and downloading this podcast to listen to later on with my grandma. So I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we've been playing some cyberpunk and,
I don't know what happens between the pre-show and then us launching actually the episode, because actually, I get the sillies and then you get the sillies. Hey, friends, we're back. Today is going to be a less of a lore episode and more of a news episode, because we've got new patch notes to go over. That shouldn't take too long. There's pretty typical stuff in this. But the exciting part is the second half of the episode, where we have some information about some potential leaks and names for DLC, or at least updates, future updates that have been data mined. So we're going to be discussing that as well. You're not going to want to miss that. So why don't we just dig into it? We got a new patch, a kind of a hotfix kind of patch, a 1.21 to come from after the 1.20. And Logan, we've been chatting about this a little bit during the pre-show. What does this mostly have in it?
This is really just going to cover the problems that came as a result of it. So if you missed out on the 1.2 podcast episode that we did, where we covered, the latest patch and whatnot, there was a fair number of fixes that they put in. And a lot of them were for quests that were just kind of like, hey, if you do this in this situation, it's going to break the quest and you're not going to be able to progress. So they did a lot of those fixes. This feels like a round two of that, where they went through, 1.2 came out, and then when they did 1.2, a lot of other stuff happened to kind of, you run into other situations as a result of that fix. And this is kind of going through those and really just kind of trying to squash a lot of the bugs that would kill progression for quests. So you get interesting stuff in here. The first one right off the bat actually was kind of surprising that it could be an issue. So it's, fix an issue in the gig Getting Warmer, where players were unable to lower Bugbear's body temperature. That's a pretty bad bug. Yeah. So I'm glad that we're seeing stuff like that. We also see things in here like fixed an issue where the clues in Cyber Psycho Sighting Blood Ritual would not count if the player scanned them before talking to their wounded NPC. So I'm actually kind of curious now that I didn't even think about this, but I'm actually going to jump into my Street Kid, the playthrough that I was doing there, and I'm actually going to see if the actual quest, the Cyber Psycho quest that I had, that remember when we talked forever ago about being able to not untrack your quests, but I mm-hmm. got around that because I had a bugged out Cyber Psycho quest. I'm actually wondering if that's actually fixed now, because that was something that was in here. So it doesn't look like that got fixed. So I'm going to scroll through the bugs, but
yeah, well, I'll chime in while you're searching for that. There's a pretty significant list. You can, of course, just look up the whole list. We're not going to read out everything, because most of these are kind of boring to listen to. But the concept here is that 3 weeks ago, they released the 1.20 patch. And of course, with any patch, there's going to be other things that they either weren't able to address yet as of the time that had to get approved and released, or that cause other issues. Sometimes patches will cause other problems that they aren't 100% sure are problems until they're able to test them. And what better test bed than to put it out there for thousands of people to try? And then, of course, people start complaining on the forums about like, oh, well, this thing's borked. And that doesn't mean that they didn't have QA inside testing these things, but think about it, the difference, think about the size of the game, the number of quests out there. There's only so many opportunities they have to run through the quest with their QA in order to see if it works. And if it worked completely for them, that might be specific to the system, specific to the hardware, the graphics card that they have, the tester in the order that they went through things. There's lots of variables. So this is a typical hotfix, hey, we're still working on this. And Logan, to me, the fact that this only took 3 weeks to put out and is as extensive as it is another one of these signs that they are on top of things, that they are, yeah, that they have all, you know, I don't know, all sheets to the wind. What's the pirate? You're a pirate. What's the piratey phrase for like putting all men on deck and you know, going full speed? No,
yeah, you nailed it. That was perfect.
There you go.
100%. Very much what pirate.
All sheets to the wind. But I mean, yeah, but that's good. I mean, this is like, I think there's probably at least 30 individual things that are addressed here, including not just like updates for quests. There's a bunch, most of them are updates for quests, but then you have some gameplay fixes, things like fixed an issue where after the player commits a crime on the roof of a building, NCPD officers would spawn behind the player's back. Well, of course, that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, it's one thing if you're on a street corner and an officer spawns behind your back because they may have wandered in from around the corner. You can kind of justify that, but like, I'm on a freaking rooftop. How did that guy get there? So that's a nice fix. Fix an issue preventing the player from climbing ladders out of water. Kind of a nice thing not to have be a problem. What were you
going
to say?
That's a big deal. Oh, I was going to give an update. So I did some digging, and thank you, Control F in Google. Appreciate that. So apparently the issue that I had where the quest is Smoke on the Water, where you kind of go out to a dock in Pacifica and you take care of a cybercycle out there. That quest was supposed to be fixed in 1.2. Where it even says like it's no longer going to reappear in your journal when it's completed. Well, I completed it, but it's still in my journal. And the 1.21 doesn't seem to address that has actually been fixed. So there are still some bugs to be put in here. Now that I've kind of gone through and checked this one that I know is a reoccurring issue, I'm actually probably going to hop onto the forums after we get done and resubmit this as a still persistent bug. So it seems like, you know, they definitely put a big list of bug fixes in here in some situations, depending whether you're on consoles or PC. Some of these things may still be in the game, may still be affected. So if you run into something, it's frustrating, but I would definitely recommend you do the thing that's going to make the game a better game and try to get it reported so that, you know, they can go back and take another look, because what they do is they essentially fix the bug and then they send it to QA. QA tests the bug in a various number of ways. If it passes all those checks, it goes back to the devs and they mark it off of the list. Whereas when you have, you know, 15 million people playing this game, a lot of them are only going to play it through maybe one or two times. Some of us that are like dedicated to the actual game are going to be playing multiple times. We're going to run into different ways. So if you run into something, I'm definitely going to recommend and do what I'm planning on doing and actually report the bug as still a bug so that it can actually get fixed in there. So
right. And politely. And that's the other side of this, is that so many people will point these things out, but they'll do it in like this really pissed off, you know, like spoiled brat kind of way, you know, like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys didn't fix this thing with this quest still. Like, this, they don't need to hear that. That's not particularly beneficial, and it doesn't do anybody any good, and it kind of makes you look like a jerk. So the best way to do this is, hey, just so you guys know, I've noticed that this thing is still an issue with the game. Here is the situation and how I caused the bug to happen. Right. This is the order in which I did things. I did this, I did this, I did this, and then this thing occurred which shouldn't have occurred. That's the best thing you can do, because then they know how to recreate it or attempt to recreate it. So treating them like human beings and like you're part of the QA team is the best way to make sure that these things get fixed in order to make sure that you end up with a better game in the long run. So also, you know,
also the
treat people like humans, like good normal humans, like you want to be treated, you know.
Yeah. And if you're ever looking to be like me, trying to get into the game industry, reporting bugs and having a record of those bugs and whether they get fixed or not, really good for a resume. Just going to toss that out there.
Yeah. And it's good practice. It's good practice. In order to be a QA tester, you have to be able to document the order that you did things and what caused what, so that the programmers can go back and look at that and see, okay, well, what triggered and when, what order, in order to make this thing happen. And then they can find where there's, you know, something in the code that's not performing the way it should. Tips for, you know, success in life and programming and things. So the other things really that this, glad. What was that?
I'm really glad that we're seeing, I hope that this is just kind of the start for the actual hot fixes. Like I know that generally hot fixes are like the things that they have to do it because they realize like this is just something that they're going to have to toss in. It was caused as a result of the patch. And since it's clear that some things are still kind of broken, I would love to have some more of these hot fixes before they just kind of like wipe their hands of it and continue on with the next gen updates.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'll probably continue to get those. Most teams will still keep a certain percentage of the team on these kinds of fixes, even while the rest of the team moves forward with some of the other things. So I wouldn't be surprised, especially with some of the things we talked about in previous episodes about how they're splitting their team and organizing things differently. I can imagine that they would be addressing that. So there are a few other things in here that are kind of fun to point out. The one visual fix listed says fixes various issues related to clipping in NPC's clothes. So, you know, no more nipples just sticking out of your shirt or that kind of stuff. But who knows? Maybe, I don't know if they've addressed all of these because they don't list them here. But
that was intended.
That was, you know, nipple. Maybe those are the outfits of the future. What if modders, be aware, if you want to have a mod project, you could mod in the older versions of the clothing that just have holes where the nipples go so that they can poke out of the clothes. Because who knows? Maybe that's a fashion in Night City in 2077.
I'm really curious, Tom, do you think that I don't know about you, maybe you've noticed this, but I've noticed that with a lot of the clothing, they actually disregard your character's body model. So if your body model is a different shape compared to the clothing actually just like squishes down your body. So like
it's your boobs. Let's be honest, it's the large breasted characters that get squished into smaller clothing.
I see it with the dudes in their butts too. It's weird.
Oh really?
I don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
like
know.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's a fun thing.
It's a limited amount of time where they weren't able to do, you know, size meshes for each specific type of clothes for each body type. I have a feeling that's what it is. And so what they're doing is, it's part of why they reload the character every time you change your clothes, is that it has to, it has to load in the body shape that fits for every piece of clothing rather than adjusting, picking the clothing that fits the body shape. Yeah, that's just my guess. Some UI stuff. What was that?
Oh, I was going to say CDPR gets a pass on that one. I'll give them a pass.
I think it was one of those necessary things because they just didn't have the resources to put into it, which maybe they're fixing. Maybe some of these various issues that are being addressed are actually making clothing fit your body shape. It'd be interesting. If you guys notice any of this, please let us know. We haven't had time to look through all of these things, but if that's something that you notice now that you're aware that that's a thing to maybe look for, chime in. Let us know on Twitter or on the Robots Radio Discord. UI updates added back the icon above NPCs who are under the district enemies quick hack effect. Scanning UI is now less cluttered and fixed an issue where Japanese/traditional Chinese text could disappear if the player changed the interface language from English to one of these languages. So if you are somebody who speaks those languages or reads those languages and prefers them, then that works better now. Stability and performance updates. There's one note here for various memory management improvements, reducing the number of crashes. So again, I found 1.20 to be more less crashy. That's the technical phrase we're talking about QA people. Crashy is the is the phrase, and it's less crashy, and it is now even more less crashy. More less crashy. Language is hard, guys.
Legally, they do have to say stability, but in the industry, it is definitely like what is crashy and not crashy.
Right. Yeah. Either things are more crashy or less crashy, or more less crashy or less more crashy. Those are the official phrases. They're not confusing at all. It's console specific. Now, if you are a Japanese player on a console, like specifically the PlayStation 4, then players should now be able to select stickers in photo mode using the circle button in the Japanese version of the game on PlayStation 4. And as you may or may not know, the buttons on your PS4 controller work differently if you're in the US or if you're in Japan. Do you guys know about this?
Not anymore.
Well, then why is this an issue still? I heard that they switched it, but is it a universal switch? I don't know.
Yeah. Because in Japan, the symbols mean different things. Like the circle is an affirmative, where an X is like a negative. But the way that most Americans hit their buttons is they generally just hit the X button when they're programming it. So they changed it to Japan because they wanted to have it more universal for developers. And it's just, it's a really annoying change. It's kind of like going from Xbox to Nintendo, where the AB and XY are swapped. So you're hitting A thinking it's the affirmative, and B for back, and it's mixed up. So yeah, like I can imagine that the reason they did this is because there's probably an option in Japan where you can actually keep it the way it was. And they probably just allowed it so that the game actually recognizes that input, as opposed to ignoring the actual like system level mappings. But that's just guessing at that point. I have no clue.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird because that is unified now for that to be a thing, which made me think maybe the PlayStation 5 now matches, but the PlayStation 4 doesn't, or maybe there's some specifics around this that I'm just not aware of. I don't know.
Yeah, without speaking to someone from Japan or who has it set up for that, it's going to be hard to know for sure, like if that's what it actually means. But if anything, it's just nice that, you know, it's easy to kind of think locally in your region and not really take into consideration how other people are playing the game. But just seeing this is just kind of a nice testament to them trying to make sure that their game localized in different regions is being treated with just as much equality as like your specific approach. So I'm just happy for that.
Right. This last one I find kind of interesting because there's a Stadia specific fix here. It's listed as fixed some graphical issues on the bridge in Mikoshi in Belly of the Beast / changes. My assumption was that things running for Stadia were all just running on, I mean, it was basically the PC version of the game running on a server and then just being sent through the internet to your screen. So this, I'm not a developer, but this makes me go, oh, there are Stadia specific builds for these games that are somehow different than a regular PC build. That's interesting. That does that mean that there are, like, I mean, Xbox, Microsoft is streaming stuff. Sony is streaming stuff through PlayStation Now. Does that mean that every streaming service has a slightly different build now for a game?
It seems like it, because I'm reading through the patch notes for 1.2, and they actually do have it split up for console, PC, and Stadia.
Or maybe so just Stadia is different in some
way.
It
could just be that Stadia is, because they seem, well, I mean, it's hard to know, but it feels like Stadia, because it has its own output, and that output is very specific to either you're paying for Stadia or you're not paying for Stadia. They have like two different ways of the game being rendered, and that could just be, because I'm looking through the 1.2. The 1.2 is improved stability throughout the title, which is a weird thing to think about. Fixed missing special effects in the crafting menus. Reimplemented a missing prompt for taking a screenshot in I Don't Want to Hear It quest. Fixed several graphical issues with lighting and cascade shadows. And implemented missing numerical key prompts for Azerty keyboards. So, I mean, it seems like Stadia is its own actual version, which would kind of lean itself or lean into that idea of like when we heard about back in October when they announced a Stadia version, everyone's like, okay, you're putting it on Stadia too. And it seems like, no, there might actually be a Stadia specific version of the game that is just running on reduced options for a PC version. And maybe that's why it was running so well, is because it had very specific rendering requirements for that, because it mm-hmm. seems like a lot of the stuff is special effects or visuals. It doesn't seem like very much about what that version is having trouble with is any kind of performance, things like that. So just seems interesting.
I wonder if it's built kind of like a console, in that the console is a very specific set of hardware. So Stadia has unified in their back end, like, it is these processors, it is these graphics cards, and it is this memory, and anything that runs on Stadia runs on that unified hardware across the board. And so they can specialize the software for that hardware specifically, which means they can write more directly to it, which would then make sense to design a very specific version of the game for that hardware in order to optimize it.
I definitely agree. I definitely think 100% that them having a limited amount of hardware kind of restricts what's necessary for the render options and for the actual settings, like, you know, motion blur, things like that. Shadows kind of makes that a little simpler in that instance. Yeah. They don't have to worry about. I think the biggest difference is that the console versions were just running on such low powered hardware that it just kind of made the game a lot harder to actually do that. But the reason why the Stadia version was so much better than the standard PC version was because it was like, hey, everyone is going to be playing these on the same exact hardware. You only have to optimize for that that specific set of hardware for the people that are going to be playing it on this on the streaming service. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe a Stadia isn't as bad as people seem to put it there. Maybe it's a good way to go.
I mean, growing pains with anything is a thing. So so the last thing about this before we move on to the middle of the show and all the fun stuff we're going to talk about in the second half, you know how they never say to read the comments? Well, I was like, okay, let's see what the comments I have good news friends. Either they've got an amazing moderator or everyone is being awesome, because you get comments like, nice, thanks, keep it up, my dudes, thanks for everyone's continued hard work. It, like, hell yeah, hurry up and give us New Game Plus already, which is not necessarily negative, but like, hey, I like it, please add this, you know. So most of these are like people acting like human beings and being super nice, and then some questions and things. But the one that I like the best, the best comment that you can see on the first page is, get this, you know, listen to the whole thing before you react. Hello. Okay. Does this hotfix fix Takamura's romance not triggering? ? Posted by Takamura Simp. At first I was like, what? Oh, that's God. Not a thing. And then I was like, wait a minute, who posted this? And I read the name and I was like, oh, I get it. Okay.
That's a good bug. I bet that probably got pushed onto the dev team. That's great. Yeah.
Oh man.
So you went and did the thing that I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So I decided to head over to the Twitter.
Wait, before we move on this. Takamura's Simp has three comments. The other two are, what's new in Night City patch 1.2 development inside? They posted, add Takamura romance, please. PLS. And then patch 1.1, add Takamura romance, all caps, please, CDPR. They've been petitioning for this for 3 months now, since January 22nd. 4 months, almost 4 months. This is amazing. This person is on, like, got an agenda. I like this. This is good. And they're being polite. Please. They're adding please. And then it doesn't fix the
not triggering. That's great. That's great. Like there's a comment on a really great video from Destiny that I saw, where this guy it was like a bunch of Titans and they were punching this boss to death. And it's like the atypical joke with Titans is that they punch through their problems, but they're always called crayon eaters, which is just a really horrible thing to mention. But there was one dude who just bit into the bit, and his comment was like, the crayons fell out of my mouth when my jaw dropped watching this awesome video. And it's just this, like, it was so great. Comments like that, I absolutely love. I'm really glad. I okay, you checked out the videos, or you checked out the comments in the forums, which I expect that people in the forums are going to be either, you know, really bipolar, that it's going to be super positive or super negative.
Rarely
do people ever go to forums with intent. So I went to the actual tweet about this to take a look at just how like people are responding
on Twitter, which is less filtered than their own website. Yes.
Right. Very much so. Yeah. Very, very much just like everyone in. So when I was just kind of skimming through here, I'll be 100% honest. Everyone that I've read so far has actually been very positive. A lot of people are responding positive to how this patch came out. A lot of people are just glad to see that they are continued. And I think this is exactly what they need for their reputation. I've seen a lot of discourse through podcasts and things like that. A lot of people are sitting there asking, like, when are CDPR going to either give up on this game and move on? Or when are people going to, when is CDPR going to reclaim its reputation? And this, this looking at these comments and stuff, it's clear to me that the people that are engaged with the social media and with the patch notes see this as a positive. So CDPR, if you guys want to earn your trust with the community, continue doing this, continue putting out hot fixes that fix issues, continue listening to the community. And for the love of Pete, please give us a Takamura romance option so we can help Mr. Takamura simp.
We gotta help this person
one while we're at it.
We gotta help this person out.
Yeah.
They're on a mission.
They're not gonna be able to move on with their life unless this happens. And I support it. You know, you want Takamura romance? Give it to him.
Oh man. I kinda wanna screenshot this and make it a t-shirt.
Right?
Just like
right
here. On your shirt, you know?
Although, if I can be bold and pull this into a Keanu Reeves reference, this reminds me of the movie Speed with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves, where Sandra Bullock falls in love with Keanu Reeves because of a very stressful moment. Takamura literally drags you out of the dump and takes you back into reality and saves your life.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to fall for him.
Yeah, it's the whole nurse thing.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like falling in love with your nurse. Totally. Oh, yeah. Totally.
This should be a thing.
It totally should be a thing.
In Dumb Dumb while we're at it. You know, if we're gonna be granting wishes here, let's get a Dumb Dumb romance going.
Why isn't there a Dumb Dumb romance yet? Can we make a Dumb Dumb simp? Somebody make a Dumb Dumb simp account and start posting about it. And let us know. Send us links. Be like, hey, guys, I posted. I would love that. I will share it. I'll retweet it.
I want to see this. See more campaigning for Takamura and Dum Dum.
Dum Dum. Yeah. Dum Dum Simp. That's the new account. Dum Dum Simp. Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, we've been hitting on little bits of things that are going to come up in the next part. So let's go to the middle of the show and then we will be back in order to talk about some really school stuff. Some really school stuff. Like
I love school
addition
stuff.
And subtraction and grammar. All right, here we go.
Multiplication with Joy Toys. It's great.
All right, friends, this is the part of the show where we get to thank our patrons who are freaking amazing. Thank you to all 19 of you who have signed up on patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast in order to get early episodes of the show and ad-free contents and even join us on future episodes to talk about stuff, which is coming up. It's coming up. It's the 18th already of April. Man, time is flying. So that means next week on the 25th, we will be having our patron show. And man, I want to hear your thoughts on these things. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 potential patrons who are upgraded and ready to join us next week. And hopefully all of them can make it. Same time as regular 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. So if you can't make it, let me know. We'll see if we can accommodate you, or you can always send in a recording or something in order to, you know, tack it onto the episode. But guys, let's jump on that Discord and start talking about what our topic might be. I'd like to leave it open for you guys to be a thing to discuss, but, you know, feel free to chime in. I think there was some thoughts about talking about, we're going to talk about romances, but specifically Judy or the male ones. I don't remember. Judy. Was it... Toasty's in chat. Toasty can remind me. I think Toasty wanted to talk about Judy. Both. It could be both. We'll figure it out.
Him?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's what we got coming up. So thank you for everyone who helps support the Patreon. If you don't have any money, but you still want to help support the show, and you happen to have an Amazon Prime account, you get a free sub that you can use for the Robots Radio Twitch channel or Captain Logan's Twitch channel in order to support us on there. And that would be amazing because Jeff Bezos doesn't need the money. And if you don't have any money and you still want to help support the show, then leaving a rating or a review and telling your friends are the next best things you can possibly do. So thank you again to everyone who helps us out. We really, really do appreciate it. We can't do it without you guys. You guys are the absolute best. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So we've got a few different news stories. Let's start with, I think this is probably the most important one, and I think this plays into the idea that we kind of chatted about last few weeks about, man, these guys have been listening to us. It's a good thing you guys are tuning into our show, CD Projekt Red, because we're giving you that roadmap for exactly how to get back in the good graces of everybody and turn this into a thing that can be both amazing and what people want and also continue to make you money. And so there's an article here from WHBL.com. This isn't the only site with these, of course. There's lots of people reporting on this. But specifically here, it says CD Projekt committed to fixing Cyberpunk 2077 so it can sell, quote, for years. And that's the general message that has been coming out from CD Projekt Red. The article here says video game maker CD Projekt has no plans to shelve Cyberpunk 2077 and is committed to fixing glitches to make its flagship game a long-term success after a troubled rollout. Joint Chief Executive Adam Kaczynski told Reuters, and Reuters is one of those like actual news places still that does like objective news, which is wonderful. So side note, if you want actual news, go check out Reuters. Kaczynski said CD Projekt was in touch with Sony, which pulled Cyberpunk 2077 from its PlayStation store only a week after its debut in December amid complaints of glitches in video games. The role-playing game, billed as an open-world action-adventure story set in a megalopolis obsessed with power, glamour, and body modification. I love this, like, marketing lingo. And featuring Hollywood star Keanu Reeves, was delayed 3 times before its debut. This is the quote that I think most people are going to be excited about. Quote, I don't see an option to shelve Cyberpunk 2077. We are convinced that we can bring the game to such a state that we can be proud of it and therefore successfully sell it for years to come, Kaczynski said. That's the kicker. That is the line that all of these people have been commenting about. All of these news sources, all of these video game media outlets are talking about that line right there. And that says to me that they are going to not only continue patching it, but they're going to keep working on making this something that they can be proud of and that the community will want to buy. And that is the key, right? It's not just about, we're just going to patch it and then we're going to move on to the next thing. This is the kind of comment you say when you want this game to sell well a year from now or 2 years from now, because that's going to rely on the community being able to tell their friends, hey, this is a great game now. You should get it. Hey, maybe you should play with me. Maybe that'll be a thing that you can do, right? What do you think, Logan?
It's been interesting to see the discourse behind this, because I feel like this was always kind of in the cards. And I've been, you know, saying it, if anyone goes and listens to the show, they need to keep working on it. They need to keep developing it. They can't let this go. And it's nice to see that they are confirming this with like actual news outlets, because I feel like that was what was necessary for their stockholders. I'm going to be 100% blunt. I think their stockholders wanted to have this kind of a certainty so that they felt like they were getting what they were asked for.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just nice to see that kind of confirmation coming from the studio that, you know, they very easily could have gotten this to a state where they were happy with it. They could have released the next gen update, put out a couple DLC, and then that was it. That's all they needed to. They've already got their contracts. They've already made their money back. They could move on to another franchise like Witcher and still retain like a lot of that love and discourse for that franchise. But they put a lot of work into it. They put a lot of care into trying to bring this world into a realized state, and it's got promise. It has potential. It needs the work, and hearing that they want to make it work for years is just another reaffirmation of my desire to stick with this and trust that while they haven't been, you know, they haven't been hitting every hurdle, they're still in the race, and they want to make sure that they don't mess things up further, and that they're trying to communicate that. And when I look at this and I see that they came out with a really big 1.2 patch, that they're hot fixing it past that, and they're not just moving on to next gen patches, it makes me feel better about me wanting to spend more time in this world and continue to play around with it. Because, you know, with talks of DLC and things like that, there's a lot of good stories that they could continue to tell in this game, and I'm just looking forward to that at this point.
Yeah, this is good news. It's messaging that they need to continue hammering home, because not everyone's going to pay attention to it. But I feel like as of this 1.2 patch and actually seeing what it does, and then the continuation with the hotfix and the messaging here, that their messaging and their actions are lining up. And we're finally at a point now where the studio is saying what they're doing and they're doing what they say, and we are back on track. So my thoughts here are just keep it up. You guys are doing it. Keep it up. And we're going to keep supporting it. We will come back to the game. I would love for this to be the kind of thing that every 6 months I can't help but load it back up and play it again, because there's new changes, there's new content, there's new stuff going on that I just can't avoid. I have to see it.
And yeah,
that would be amazing.
There's a ton of stuff already.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be great.
Yeah, this could be a game as platform thing. You build in some downloadable content that you can pay for, just like Sea of Thieves or any of these other games, Destiny, whatever, and you patch in the ability to play a little bit of multiplayer, and then you grow that part of it out. You know, you turn this into No Man's Sky for Cyberpunk, and this game will be the kind of thing you play for 10 years. And, you know, there are going to be people out there wanting to buy stuff that you can't actually get in the game, or that takes longer to get in the game, but you want to just pay for. You know, there's no problem with that, as long as the core content in the game is good and people just want to keep playing it. And that really works. We've seen that works. There's no reason this game can't be that. So fingers crossed. Let's hope that gets there. So the other main thing that we have to talk about now is that with Cyberpunk's 1.2 patch and now the 1.21 patch, there are people who are data mining these. And if you don't know what data mining is, that is where people get the content from the game and they're able to open up the files in a way similar to the programmers in order to see what kind of stuff is in there. And sometimes they can get at part of the information. Maybe they'll find names of files, maybe they'll find images or sounds and these kinds of things, and they're able to kind of parse together things that have been included in the download that aren't necessarily finished yet, but are part of the composite, when the files get formed and formed together.
There's a word for it.
Yeah, part of the executable and the way that the files are built. Now the big news, and this came out a few weeks ago, but there's been a little bit more of an update on this, is that there are some hints for some things that will potentially be updates to the game. And these are probably not full-fledged DLC packs in the way that we're expecting, say, like the next story bit to be that's coming later this year. But these could potentially be concepts for future updates or new content that will be added to the game that isn't necessarily part of a DLC pack. And there's a lot of speculation about this. So let's go over these. There's just about, 9-10 of these different names to go over. So they were able to find that each of these is listed out as individual kinds of future downloads or projects. And they have simple names like Ripper Docs, Body Shops, Fashion Forward, Gangs of Night City, Body of Chrome, Rides of the Dark Future, The Relic, Neck Deep, and Night City. And CD Projekt Red has responded to this. They've said that these aren't actual names of content that are going to be released, and they don't have to do with like the big DLC packs. So maybe these are ways of the development team defining sections of content that they're going to be releasing updates for. So for example, an update for Ripper Docks, maybe more Ripper Dock locations across the city, maybe updates for things the Ripper Docks can do or augment or change. And, you know, maybe updates for the way that that functions in your character or other characters. Then there's stuff like body shops. What does body shop mean? Well, chances are that means the ability to upgrade your cars. So maybe this is a thing that's coming. Changes to vehicles, maybe the way they drive or the way they look. Fashion forward, fashion update. Gangs of Night City. Who knows what this could be? Maybe this is more content for the gangs. Maybe these are more side quests. Maybe these are updates to the fixers and the kinds of things that they can do and interact with you. Maybe it's fleshing out some of the gangs that aren't fleshed out so much, like the Ninth Street Gang or Pacifica. There's not a whole lot with, or not Pacifica, the Voodoo Boys. So like maybe there's content around those. Body of Chrome. Maybe that has to do with visual augments to your body that aren't fashion and aren't necessarily Ripper Docks and things like ability functions, but stuff that's more built around, like, you know, changing the way your body looks in order for, you know, fashion reasons or whatever. Rides of the Dark Future. Maybe that's new vehicles. Maybe that's new content for vehicles. The Relic. And Logan, what do you think the Relic is? Because that's, the Relic is the chip. What do you think that might have to do with?
It's interesting to see all of these, because I have a feeling that a lot of these are code names. When I see a lot of things in Sea of Thieves or things that are data mined, it's generally under like the code name that they're using internally. So when I see things like the Relic or Neck Deep or Riders of the Dark Future, I generally think that those might actually be tied to DLC plans, and that those are just kind of the general code names that they have for it. So with things like the Relic, I imagine that those are going to be something that ties to another type of relic, not necessarily the relic that we are thinking of, but something that kind of leads you down the storied path of like your soul. Like a lot of there is a lot of contention in Night City, especially amongst evangelists who think that preserving your soul turns you into an immortal god, and that that goes against the laws of nature, and that shouldn't be something that is tampered with or messed with. You know, there's a lot of people that are you know, Ganics, and they want to deal with things like the Body of Chrome, where you have to deal with people who are being oppressed because they've made these augments to their body to the point where they're completely chromed out, and they're dealing with that. You know, we even saw that with Lizzie Wizzy actually goes insane because of her body modifications, to the point where she goes on this killing spree, and you're just like, holy cow. So I imagine things like Riders of the Dark Future, that could totally be a sect of
Rides and Shiv. It's not Riders, it's Rides.
Rides.
But it could be.
Okay, so if it's Rides of the Dark Future, I would say that probably deals with some of the AVs that are in the game. Maybe we're actually getting like AVs that we can fly around in, and we can actually do something with those in that case. Or, you know, Gangs of Night City, definitely feel like they're, I'm hoping what this is, and this is kind of going into, you know, typical Logan territory.
This is all speculation. This is all crazy speculation. And to jump in there real quick, I've had conversations or heard from a number of people who found the podcast more recently and listened back through the old episodes. And Logan, they've been very complimentary at some of our predictions, because they were like, wow, you guys were actually right about so many things more often than you were wrong. So I guess we should just keep speculating, because who knows? Maybe we'll pull some more stuff out of thin air and it'll actually come to fruition.
I'm gonna risk the phrase influencer in this instance and suggest that if CDPR wants to dive into their most engaged community members who are building content for it, I'm looking at all the other YouTubers and stuff that are out there. Some of them have moved on to other games, I'm not gonna lie. Some of them are still sticking around. Once in a while they'll put out the video for something like the hotfix and stuff. But you know, when I look at fashion forward, it's clear that the modders want transmog. It's clear that that's what we've been talking about wanting to have and having those options. You know, when I think about body shops, it comes down to having your cars and being able to customize those, being able to really make any of the Type 66 vehicles, you know, those look how you feel like you want them to see. We see vehicles in the game that we can't access, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. How come we can't get access to that vehicle, but we can only buy this one? But if there was more access to like end game earnings for gangs of Night City, you know, if I could do quests for the different gangs and earn gold, then I'd be able to actually go and buy all of the vehicles without having to cheese it. You know, that economy isn't built in there. And then it would make sense to have a body shop because you're working for gangs and you're earning more eddies and you're being able to modify your actual body with different Ripper docks that have different equipment, or your vehicles with the body shops, and, you know, having a fashion forward system where you can actually transmog to look how you want without looking like a clown running around trying to wear the best gear and running into people with issues due to being chromed out. Having a body of chrome is a good storyline to dive down, and having Rides of Dark Future tie into, you know, how far are we going with AVs, or how far are we going into space with different things? Like, is the Dark Future space? Is that what they're talking about by going out into space and having a casino out there, and it's, you know, it's dark in space, it's silent in space, and Rides of the Dark Future could very well being us going out into that space orbital casino and that hotel to actually do stuff out there and actually, you know, continue on past the story of the game where V is doing the solo version, where he goes on his own to assault Arasaka Tower. And at the end of it, you know, he goes up into space and it ties more into Mr. Blue Eyes and what's going on with him. And that's the Rides of the Dark Future are just rocket ships to space where the future is going to be.
Yeah.
The relic could be tied into that as well. You know, the relic that is still a persistent issue in that actual storyline. Like, he still has the relic. He still has 6 months to live. The relic could be tied to you working with Mr. Blue Eyes to ride, you know, take one of the rides to the Dark Future to finish up the relic, and finding yourself neck deep in this space casino and trying to get back to Night City.
Right. What if the relic, neck deep in Night City, are actually code names for the three DLC packs, and the rest of these are smaller code names for smaller updates. You know,
I would love it if it's a big story and these are the chapters, and we're taking each DLC and making a full-fledged chapter of that story.
Yeah, maybe. You know, all of this stuff makes me wonder. Obviously, things weren't complete when they released it. We've talked about that 100 times. But what if they messaged it as, this is, you can buy the game now for full price. You're going to get all these updates throughout the future. And the first thing you're going to get is a game that tells you the main story. You get this story first. And the game, like, the game world is mostly playable. It's not perfect yet, but at least you get to play through the story. And if you want to try some of the other side content, you can kind of, that stuff's in beta. Like, had they played, you know, like, side quests, beta still. The way the cops respond, it's still kind of beta. You know, the way that fashion's going to work, it's still kind of beta. All that stuff's still kind of beta. But if you want the main story, you can play through that part. You know, if they just sold it to us like that, like, get the main story stuff now, pay full price, get the main story stuff now, and then get all the new content as it gets patched in from this point forward. Like, that messaging would have worked, but they clearly didn't have that in mind when they released it. And now they've had to pivot and go, okay, well, this is, you're going to get all this other stuff. And they haven't told us specifically, but like, it seems like that's where they're going, right?
And it sucks too, because from what it looks like, all of the DLC for this is going to be included free.
Yeah.
So it feels like, you know, they could have put this out as a pre-release. They could have said, hey, you know, we're doing early access for pre-orders on this date. You get access to the game in its current form.
And its main story. And you can play through the whole main story. There might be some bugs and things, but at least you can play through the whole main story.
Yeah, and give people that opportunity, and it would have worked. I think it would have worked. I think people would have been like, oh, you know, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to let everyone test it out and whatnot. And there's so much a better, it's such a better PR story to say, like, I'm going to wait for the actual released version. Because you look at Fortnite, Fortnite was in beta forever. Minecraft was in beta forever. No one ever blinked an eye at how those games ran or how fleshed out they were, because they were technically beta. And while it's hard to sell people on a $60, $70 game in a beta form, honestly, that's kind of what games are nowadays. How many people were complaining about Outriders having broken servers for an online game day one because they don't understand the concept of how server systems work and how scaling is almost impossible to plan for when you're making an online game? And if your game comes free to one of those consoles, heck yeah, it's going to be a pretty popular game, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hard to plan for that. So I'm okay with games releasing as a beta, especially if they charge you full price, say that this is the full game, you'll get 3 years worth of committed thing until it's actually going to be the full-fledged game. And if I'm passionate about it, then yeah, I'm totally going to cover it. I'm totally going to buy into it and see how it goes. And if I don't, then at least I understood what I was getting when I paid for it.
Right.
And I think that's the issue.
Games are messaging for games, marketing for games is all about managing expectations. And had they come forward with the game launch and said, you can play through the main story, plus you can access other stuff around the city. Like there's some stuff we're still testing. A lot of the systems aren't fully built out yet, but everything works enough for you to play through the main story. And imagine the conversations that would have happened when you jump into the game and you go, oh, they said this stuff's kind of built, but man, I can do all of these side quests. I can talk to all of these people. I can go to all of these places. There's all of this cyber tech that already still works. There's all of these, you know, like, wow, the game really is. Oh, there's all these vehicles work. I mean, the driving's not great yet, but there's a lot more here than I assumed when they said I could just play through the main story. Like, that's a completely different thing. So when your friend says, how is Cyberpunk? You tried it out and you go, oh yeah, I got to play through the whole story, but man, there's a lot of other stuff in there that I can test out already. And then you're like, oh wow, okay, cool. Like, that's a completely different thing. And then your friend goes, oh well, if I can try that other stuff out, maybe I'll jump in too, because it's more than just the story. Yeah, there's all sorts of other stuff that they've already added in that's, you know, they're going to be expanding on. Okay, cool, I'll jump
plus
in.
You get the really that. You get the really good marketing beats of hey, you know, they added this to the beta, and you're like, oh cool, well that fleshes out more of that story, that's awesome. And then you get another surge of people jumping into it, you know, when mm-hmm. you know, when Witcher was adding DLC, people were jumping on those versions because they wanted to get the free DLC, so they saw a whole new influx of people purchasing the game at that point. CDPR has the opportunity to really kind of do this with their next game, and I hope that they take advantage of having people jump into it. Grounded right now. Grounded is a game coming from Obsidian. That's a very small team, but that team has released it in early access as a beta, and they are working with the community to actually flesh out that game so that it becomes the game that the community wants instead of the full-fledged, completely finished game that they're going to put out there, and it's either going to flop or not.
That they hope people want. Yeah.
Yeah, that they hope people want. And that's kind of what I think Cyberpunk needs, is I think they need the modders. I think they need the community to reach out to CDPR and be like, hey, these are the things that we want for this game. We're glad that you built this foundation. Please include the Takamura romance option and the Dum Dum option. Like, those are what we want.
What if you could set up other people to romance each other? What if you could, like, what if it was like really, really difficult, but you could get Dum Dum and Takamura to be a couple?
That's another thing.
You could be like a matchmaker.
I didn't think we'd ever find a way into this conversation, but I do think that what you're touching on is a really important thing. And while I definitely think it would be fun to have romance options between between NPCs and see relationships like that. We kind of get that a little bit with Judy and Evelyn, but I would love to have some of our NPCs that are story moment NPCs, like Judy, River, Pan Am, things like that. I would like to have a little interaction with the other, because it feels like V has a whole bunch of friends, and all of those friends are like their own little satellite friends.
Yeah.
And it's like V needs to have a party and have all of his friends come meet each other so they can all talk bad about him behind his back while he's going getting ice or something like that. You know, we need something like that.
Wait, is this something that you've been through?
No.
Sounds personal.
No. That's
no.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
So what else was there for
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's kind of the big thing. And CDPR has said basically these titles don't mean that they're specifically for DLC packs that are coming out, but it does seem like that they are content that they're working on, which is still, I mean, it's still good. Like it's not a bad thing. So
yeah, I will say that if this is intended for the first DLC patch, if those are chapter quests, as far as like a story plot goes, I'm all for it, because what it sounds like in my head now that I've convinced myself and is actually going to happen is that we're going to space.
There you go. I think it's more likely that these are individual sections of the game that they're going to be augmenting and improving. But if we go to space, that's cool too. I'm fine with that.
It was, I'm just going to throw fuel on the fire. Artel Saurian actually said that they would like to have a part of the game that actually goes to South Africa and meets up with the people out there, and that we actually get to go and enjoy that culture, but go into space as well, too.
That's true.
Just going to say.
That's true. That could be a thing. All right. Well, we'll keep dreaming about Dum Dum and Takamura romances and going to space you guys keep dreaming about that while we wrap up the show. So Logan, what else do you have going on? What do you have to share before we head out?
Keel Hauled is still going strong. Funny enough, Sea of Thieves did a good service of having their podcast support my podcast inadvertently. So I'm really grateful for all the people that have joined up on that. So if you guys are hearing more and more about Sea of Thieves, either through this podcast or just through other people talking about season two, my podcast Keel Hauled is the number one source. I've actually got a guest this week. He's a good friend who I only know through Twitter. He actually got to go to the studio back before the game was released, and he actually got to play the original Unity engine prototype of the game and the actual what is the engine that we're running? Unreal. Mm. Unreal Engine. Mm. Version of it back before it was there, and he got his name in the game as a peg leg cosmetic. So his name, Jeff Pegleg Perez, is actually a cosmetic that you can buy in the game. So he's on the episode this week. I'm going to be talking with him about season two.
Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, season two is out now, so you can play that. Just try that for the first time. Some really cool additions to that if you play Sea of Thieves. And let's see, what do I have going on? I'll be streaming some days this week, you know, regular days in the afternoons, usually around 3:30 or in the evenings. So I don't have a set schedule, but those are the times that streaming does happen. So make sure you turn on notifications if you want to hang out. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 again. There's a bunch of great content in there. Some big updates coming soon for that. Playing Sea of Thieves with my son and some other people, and that's of course a lot of fun too. But yeah, even just like some community games. We even do community nights on occasion and play games that we can all play without having to even buy the games, like the Jackbox games and stuff like that. So come hang out with us for those things. Also, we now have 11 people who are part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, who are launching their own podcasts and doing those kinds of things. Lots of great shows, some really, really creative people. And if that's something you're interested in learning about or setting up for yourself, please let me know. And you can always check out robotsradio.net/rocket-club. And you can go to the Discord and look down the list of podcasts, and you'll see all the different shows that are on there, some of which you might be interested in. So go check those out. All right, that's it for us this week. We're going to be back next week, most likely with another, for sure next week with a patron episode, and the week after that probably with another lore episode, unless we get a really cool new patch with some other stuff that we aren't expecting. So we'll find out. But come join us if you want. There's still time to sign up on the Patreon if you'd like to join us during the chat for next week. So we'll see you guys then. And that's it. Have a good rest of your week, everyone, and stay safe in Night City. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
Do you love Dragon Age? Have you always wanted to learn more about its vast world and detailed lore? Are you still attached to your hero of Ferelden, even a decade after Dragon Age Origins came out? Or maybe you're a newer fan, still discovering a new tidbit or quest every day.
Well, either way, the Dragon Age Lorecast is the podcast for you. I'm Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm Shelby, also known as SheCup.
And come and join us as we embark on a journey to explore and discover all things Dragon Age.
We'll discuss all kinds of topics, from Lyrium to the Chantry and the great mysteries of the old gods, and even more that even you BioWare superfans might not know about.
So come and listen on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And always remember,
swooping